Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live on the air and here to address your question or discuss your real-life issue. The phone number, 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and if there's something you'd like to talk about, this is your invitation. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That is the good news. And the topic this month is based on that truth, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, we had Lee Strobel on as a guest, and it was a powerful, powerful broadcast as he shared his personal investigation of the evidence for the resurrection. He was an atheist. His wife became a Christian. He decided that he was going to investigate all of the evidence, historical evidence, medical evidence, theological evidence, philosophical evidence, to disprove and claim his wife back.
Yeah. Over it.
That's right. That's exactly right. But as he poured over the evidence, it just became clearer and clearer and clearer that indeed Jesus had returned from the dead. And he gave his heart to Christ and has been communicating that good news ever since. And so if you missed that broadcast, we certainly encourage you to go back to our archives at basicgospel.net. Take a listen. I think you will be deeply encouraged. And if you have doubts about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I think yesterday's broadcast will answer some of those questions that you might have. Also, we offered his book, The Case for Easter, to anyone who called for it. It was our gift. And we want to make that offer available today as well. So if you missed yesterday's broadcast and you want a copy of Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Easter, we encourage you to call right now, 1-800-727-2828. Yesterday, we had a flood of calls.
Yeah, we did.
I think the most we've had in a single day in a long, long time. And so keep that up. This is a wonderful resource. I know in my own studies, I have referred back to many of Lee's books, and they've been so helpful because he does so much research. I mean, he is right on the pulse of what is happening, all of the latest attacks and the latest criticisms. And what you'll find is these things just get recycled. Like yesterday, we talked about the swoon theory, the fact that Jesus didn't actually die on the cross. And once he was put in that tomb, those cool airs revived him, and he was able to get up out of that tomb, roll away the stone, and hide. And we have no earthly idea where he went, but that's one of the stories. Well, that swoon hypothesis just keeps being cycled back through and through and through and through. It's been dismissed time and time again. But Lee keeps up with all of that, and so his works have been very beneficial to me, and that's why we want to put this book in your hand. It's The Case for Easter.
Yeah, and you can get yours, as Bob said, by calling our order line. That number is 1-800-727-2828 and available up to about 6 o'clock Central Time today, 1-800-727-2828. And if you call after hours, you can leave the callback information and we'll take care of you in that way. But we want you to have a copy of this book, The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel.
Yes, indeed. Our verse for the day is Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son. So what is this good news about? It's about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's good news to man. And regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, that gives him rightful heir to the throne of David, the one that would sit on it forever. And then he says, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we know that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be? Well, the final proof is that resurrection, the fact that God raised him back to life and put his seal on Jesus, saying that his claims are indeed true. Yeah. That's good news.
That's good news.
If Jesus hadn't come back, then his death on the cross would have been meaningless, and there would be no Christianity, and we would be still in our sins without hope. And as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Yep. That's as good as it gets. Yeah. But the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead guarantees everything that he promised: forgiveness of sins, eternal life, redemption, reconciliation, justification, a new identity, eternal hope, a new body. All of those things are guaranteed because Jesus Christ is alive today.
And that's basic gospel, and that's good news, friends. Thanks for joining us. Well, the lines are completely filled, so Bob, I guess let's get to it, huh?
Let's do. Let's go to Westchester, New York, and talk with Peter. Hi, Peter.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Doing great.
Good. It comes down to faith. I believe, you'll have scientists, you'll have philosophers, theologians. It just basically comes down to we have the gospel. We read the gospel, we hear the word. If God wants to grace us, certain of us will grace. Some to fail, will go, And like I'll always look at John verse 29 to 31, when 29 is with Thomas doubting him, and then it'll go on to John. It'll go on. John writes, and all of these things I cannot put in my. It comes to faith. You'll know if you're saved. You'll know. People just cast doubts. They've been trying for years. They'll spend their whole lives trying to,
Well, Peter, I think what happens in salvation is we have this moment of clarity concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's much like Lee's story, and I know my own story, and I think everybody's here. I grew up in a church. I grew up knowing about Jesus. I was confirmed in the church when I was in the third grade. But there was a point in time when I had a moment of clarity and realized that Jesus was actually who he claimed to be, and that his death on the cross was for me. If I had been the only person on this planet, Jesus would have come to die to take away my sins. And so the story became very, very personal. And that's when grace really gives you that moment of clarity and you can respond in faith and receive him and be made alive. That's what the gospel story is, and that's why resurrection is at the heart and soul of it. You and I were dead. Peter, we were dead spiritually. Right. We needed life, and through faith in Christ, we go from death to life. That's great news, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, we're called under his righteousness. We're saved.
Absolutely.
Under the wrath. Otherwise, we'll still be under the wrath.
Absolutely.
And it's just, like I said, it's a great thing to feel, and he died for, all the believers, not for everybody, I don't think. It's for those who believe.
Well, it says that he died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Salvation is available to all. I mean, his blood is sufficient.
Well, you have to believe also.
Yeah.
For the believer.
Yeah.
We have
to be made alive. That's what the gospel is. It's going from death to life, and that comes by grace through faith.
Right. All right, guys.
Well, Peter, thanks for your call today. Great to talk with you. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Case for Easter. You hang on.
Thanks, Peter. Good to hear from you.
Let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to Navarre. Hi, Navarre.
Hello, Jays. God bless you guys.
And you too. How can we help you today?
I'm reading the Bible today. Just going over the book of Romans today. And as I was reading, it's just a verse that stumped me. And basically, Romans chapter 2, verse 13, when it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be just. So I just want a little bit more clarity. And also, I want you to, if you can, tell me, what do you think about the movie Noah? And then I'm going to hang up.
Okay, Navarre, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. This is a pretty significant passage that he talks about in the book of Romans. I'll just read it. It's Romans 2:13, for it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it's those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Well, can anybody do that? can anybody obey the law fully 100% of the time from birth to death?
I tried.
You did try, didn't you?
I failed.
Yes.
Failed badly.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, how was that working?
Yeah, it didn't work at all.
Right.
But this is a true statement. I mean, we're not throwing it out. It's a true statement. But what's also true is what he says in chapter 3. No one is righteous. Not one of us in the history of the world has ever kept that law.
That's right. Except for Jesus.
Except for Jesus.
Jesus was the only one, and it's by his act of obedience that we can be saved,
yes,
that we can be declared righteous. So he's building a case here, isn't he,
yeah,
in this particular chapter that leads to the conclusion in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's the condemnation for mankind. That's where the sin that Adam and Eve committed in the garden left all of mankind separated from God. And there's only one way to be declared righteous, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's what this is talking about. It's part of that argument that leads to that conclusion.
Yeah, a useful hint for any of you who are studying your Bibles, if you want to read Romans, chapters 1, 2, and 3 go together.
Yes, they do.
Don't try to pull anything out of them. Put the whole thing
right
together.
And that's a great point, Richard, and I hope Navarre is listening to this, and all of our listeners will take this advice. Read in context. Read big chunks of the Bible. Get the overall picture, the big picture feel of what's happening, and then all of these little details really find their right place.
Yes.
And you can see what they mean in light of the context. So that's a very important aspect for Bible study. As far as the movie Noah, I haven't seen it.
I haven't.
I don't think you've seen it, or
no,
you've seen it. So
I've read some fascinating reviews.
Yeah,
therefore,
so
I'm probably not going to go watch it.
We can't really comment. All that I can say is that it stirred a conversation. You know,
yes,
people are talking about it, and we can certainly inject ourselves into that conversation and hopefully point people to Jesus and to what the Bible has to say, and that salvation can be found through faith in him and him alone.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to John, listening to us in New York on WMCA as well. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everything?
Oh, fantastic. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm very happy for your show. I've learned a lot. I got a situation. I've been hearing, I know Jesus is coming back, and everybody's saying prepare. You know, I've been walking with the Lord all these years. And, you know, they're saying, well, you got to buy food, you got to buy water, you got to buy this, you got to get going. And I'm thinking about these poor people, the homeless people who have none, and the people who don't have the money to buy things that what's going to come about in the future. I mean, how are these people going to have to get along? You know what I'm trying to say?
I do, John. I think a lot of what we see happening today is motivated and driven by fear, you know, trying to protect ourselves for the worst-case scenarios. Some might say, you know, we need to prepare. There's some wisdom in that. But I think most of what we see is fear-driven. And I think any decision that we make out of fear is going to be a wrong decision. It's just not going to be the best thing. God has called us to a walk of faith, a walk of trust, a walk of reliance. And, you know, Jesus even talked about, why worry about tomorrow? Today has enough trouble of its own. Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we know that Jesus is taking care of us today, and if we can respond to him with an attitude of thanksgiving, then we can know that he's going to take care of us tomorrow. Now, that doesn't mean that we're foolish about tomorrow. It simply means that we're walking by faith. We're trusting in Jesus Christ. You know, there's been so many people, John, who've tried to prepare for their future, and they've built a financial nest egg, and they've seen it all wiped out in a single day through stock market reversals. Well, what are you going to do at that point? Well, the same thing you did the day before, and that was trust Jesus to meet your needs according to his riches and glory.
Amen. It's true. I mean, I might just go out there and touch people with the love of Jesus. You know what I mean?
Yes, indeed.
Just reach as many souls as we can.
Well, I think you're on to something there, my friend. You keep doing that, okay?
Believe me.
All right.
Listen, thank you so much, guys.
Thanks,
keep up
John.
The good work.
Hey, thank you, my friend.
Thank
nice to
job.
Hear from you. Let's go to Eugene, listening to us in Brooklyn, New York on WMCA. Hi, Eugene.
Hello. How you guys doing, my fellow co-workers in Christ? How are you brothers doing?
Doing great. Thank you. I love hearing that.
Hey, I had a question. I'm in my car now, so I don't have my Bible or my notes with me, but I'm just going to speak general, and I think you probably would understand what I'm talking about. It's in the fallen angels that Jude spoke about that came down and was supposed to sleep with the women, and they said, Jude said, God put them in the black and chains with the blackest darkness. When they did sleep with these women, the children that were born from them, I was checking in Genesis. Were these children not special kind of people, but were they different as in the average people that were there? Is that another reason why God flooded the earth? Did that play into any of that?
Well, Eugene, that's an interesting passage. You're referring to a passage in Genesis where some biblical scholars will look and say, the men of God and how does that go, Richard?
So the sons of God.
Sons of God and the daughters of men.
And the daughters of men. So
right.
Some would say the sons of God would be angelic beings, and they had intercourse with these daughters of men, and that produced the Nephilim, the giants, the men of renown, and that's what brought the flood upon the earth. That was the ultimate act of rebellion, both in the angelic world and in humanity. But there's no way that we can fully know. I mean, that's just kind of speculation, just people piecing things together. There are other biblical scholars that would say, based on several passages in the Bible, that angelic beings are asexual, that it's an impossibility for them to have intercourse, and particularly to have intercourse with humans.
The part that I found a little troubling was they say that the sons of God, they married them. Now, in biblical scripture, it's impossible for angels to marry, you know, so that's why I kind of somewhat ruled it out. But then when I went into, I think it's the book of Joshua, or no, the book in Exodus, when Moses was dead and God told Joshua to go into the land, and Caleb and them went and brought back a report of the people that looked like giants. That's the Nephilites. I think that's where that name came up again.
Yes.
So if God destroyed the world by a flood, then these people are still there. That's because I found that word.
It's kind of confusing, isn't it?
I looked for it and I found it in I think it's Exodus. Is that Exodus?
Some of it's mentioned
Caleb
there.
And they brought back the reports, and the people said these people were like grasshoppers towards these people.
That's correct. That's exactly right. So you know it casts doubt and puts a lot of question marks around that passage in Genesis. What does that actually mean? And I don't know that we can have a dogmatic answer to that. All we know is that evil was in the hearts of men constantly. That's why God brought the flood upon the earth. But we also know that God had a rescue mission, that God had a plan even before the flood came into being.
Right.
And that plan was through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We know there was a great rebellion in the heavenly places. We know that was led by Satan. Satan was kicked out. There were angels that followed him. We believe those have become the demonic forces that are influencing the world today, and influencing people to keep them from coming to Christ and from being saved. We know all of that's true. But as far as how that all works and the full explanation of it, I don't think the Word of God gives us that, other than to say it's there, be aware of it, and victory is found in Jesus.
Right. That's perfect, because I was going all through the Bible. I mean, it took me so long to find out the information I did, but it's like I was going in circles. Then I somewhat rebuked myself, because I said, when the Apostle Paul said, who are you? We're mankind. How can we question God? Like in the epistles. And I started to think, some things are made for us to understand, but then some things are made in the Bible that we would never understand. So, I'm at peace with that.
Yeah. Well, I am too, Eugene. I know I'm a human being. I have a finite capability of understanding. And when God wants me to know something more than what I already know, he'll give me that information, and I can trust him with that. So, and I think some things that we're going to find out when we go to be with him, I think we'll be able to see the whole story as it unfolded, even before creation. I think we'll be in on that and know how precious Jesus Christ is to us to rescue us from that evil plan and that evil scheme that Satan hatched long before the creation of the world.
Thank you. Now, just if I could say one thing, I would just tell everyone out there, all my fellow Christians, to read the Bible. It's spiritual food. The same way you eat food. You don't eat food and say, okay, I'm going to eat food now, and it's going to last me to next week. No, you need to eat tomorrow, too, to survive. The same way is with spiritual, the Bible. We can't just read it today and say, you know what, I'm going to read it two more weeks from now. We need it every day. It's so powerful, and I thank you guys for the show. It's such a blessing. And God bless you guys.
Well, thank you, Eugene, and thank you for those encouraging words.
Let me add another quick note of context. If you look in Genesis, and this example that we were just talking about is one of those prime examples, from chapter 3 all the way through chapter 11, it's a collection of stories that show the problem of sin in humanity, some of them horrible, some of them not so horrible. And the whole thing changes in chapter 12 when Abram shows up and God says, I'm going to fix this.
That's right. And there's the promise of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Through your seed, the whole world will be blessed.
Yes.
That is amazing news. Well, let's go to Miles in Calgary, Alberta. Hi, Miles.
Hi, fellas. First of all, I'd like to say I'm very thankful for Lee Strobel. I'm thankful for science. And just recently watching on National Geographic a program called Cosmos. Don't know if you've seen it.
I have not seen it, but I've heard about it.
It's based on Carl Sagan, who
yes.
was an atheist, and it very much has the evolution take on creation. But at one point, the narrator did talk about the wonder of nature as being almost spiritual. So I thought, well, that's interesting. At least they're moving towards the possibility, at least suggesting something spiritual. With respect to creation, God is our creator. The way I look at it, we're not products of evolution. We are products of his creation. We are products of the same parts bin or tool bin that he's used to create other things. And I find it interesting that
Well, do you have a question on that, Miles? We're just about out
of
time.
Yeah, well, okay. I'm just saying, you know, a starfish can have its leg cut off and it grows back. In a sense, that's resurrection. And it's just, to me, I'm not equating it to the his resurrection, but it's similar.
Well, Miles, thanks for that. One of the things about resurrection, and this is one of the things that we'll talk about more as we go through this month, is that when Jesus was raised, even though it was the same body, it was different. It had put on immortality. And in that case, it's so different than anything else that we will ever see. And that's what we hope for as believers in Christ. Our bodies are going to put on immortality. They will be imperishable. They will be like Jesus's body. That is the great hope that we have. And that's why we know that resurrection is different. It's something from above. It's a God thing that changes the very quality of life altogether.
Absolutely. Well, thanks to everybody for being a part of this one. A reminder that those of you who missed the broadcast yesterday with Lee Strobel, we encourage you to go online to basicgospel.net, click the radio link, and you'll find that broadcast in the archive. I think you'll be terrifically blessed by it. Reminder also that through tomorrow on Basic Gospel, we'll be offering a free copy of Lee's book, The Case for Easter. If you'd like to get it, call our operator at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. And ask for your free copy of The Case for Easter by Lee Strobel. But be sure to click on the Basic Gospel link and click the radio link and listen to that broadcast if you missed it. You will be terrifically blessed. Also, be sure to visit our website for information on Stand 2014, our Bible conference coming up in June. All the information at Stand2014.com. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.